What up, what up, what up? It is game day for the first time of the 2019-2020 NBA season. Welcome on back to the Clippers Beat Podcast. I've got a very patient and gracious guest online. You know him as Aaron Larstool, producer, extraordinaire, and host of the Official Lakers Podcast. And I am so grateful for Aaron's time, because this is the second time we are recording this podcast today, thanks to a little technical gaffe on my part. But Aaron, good evening for the second time.
Well, good evening to you. And two things. One, I don't know if you need to let everybody out there in Clipperland know how the sausage is made. So you know what? This is the first time. This is the best time. And with all that energy you just had, I'm ready for just about anything. I'll run through a wall. We can do this podcast 3-4 hours. I'm ready to go. Look at all that energy, and it is game day, as you say. So let's get it.
Let's go. It's vegan sausage, right?
No. I mean, this is LA. So for probably 2/3 of your listenership, perhaps. But no, I'm a man of the streets and a man of the people. So there will be no vegan, no vegetarian, none of that. Give me the. I'm gonna stop short of saying all the animal protein. But I like a good steak every now and again.
All right, nobody can blame you for that one. But Aaron, perhaps the most hyped NBA regular season opener that we've seen in quite a while, maybe ever, right? Talking about the Lakers and the Clippers.
I think it's possible, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it kind of reminds me of is, you know, when they have, and I think there's one more game tonight as you listen to this probably, but it kind of reminds me of, you know, in the NFL, they do that one game, and it's usually the Super Bowl champion from the year before, but they always play kind of like the season kickoff game, and it's them, and it's usually a good matchup against somebody. You know, it's often the Patriots and the Steelers, or the Patriots and the Chiefs, somebody interesting. And it kind of feels like that this has been orchestrated for TV. It's been arranged for TV, and everybody wants to see the new-look Lakers and the new-look Clippers, so it is definitely an exciting time for hoops here in L.A.
Except Lou Williams says it's exciting for the fans. For us, it's just another game. Are we calling BS on that?
Yeah. I mean, it is exciting for the fans, but I like Lou Will a lot, a former Laker and a damn good player. I think he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year in perpetuity from now on. But, yeah, no, Lou, whoever he said that to, if he said that to you, Nikki, he was lying to you, because it is not just another game for the players. And, I can tell you, from the Lakers side, and LeBron has been tweeting out about how excited he is to play tomorrow night. From the Lakers side, it is not just another game. You know, the Lakers and Clippers, I don't know if they're rivals yet for the hearts and minds of the city of Los Angeles, but on the court, I think possibly for the first time ever, because both teams have championship aspirations, I think it is a real rivalry. And, there's a bunch of guys that have played for both franchises. So I don't think this is just another game. And then for LeBron personally, I think there's kind of a discussion. I think it was probably Kevin Durant was widely seen as the best player in the world until he tore his Achilles. But since then, it is probably, some people say Giannis, but there's a lot of Kawhi love for that. He's just coming off the Finals MVP. So I think LeBron is looking towards that matchup with Kawhi. Unfortunate that Paul George is not going to be available, but I think if for LeBron, he's very much looking forward to going up against Kawhi. I think they will guard each other a lot of the time. So I think it matters to LeBron, and he is one of those guys, one of those.
LeBron has had, what, the most time ever in 8 years, or maybe even in his career, by completely missing the playoffs, to sit and let ruminate over the media cycles, what's swirling around the narratives of this season. And we saw a little micro example of how he responds when there's noise around him just earlier this preseason, which he's looked fantastic in, by the way. As soon as he goes out and says those statements about China, and it was just a matter of minutes before he's firing off tweets in the locker room, but then he goes out and lets his play speak for himself. So he is one, like you said, to follow up when people find reason to doubt him.
Yeah, I think this is probably the season that LeBron, you mentioned it. And by the way, good use of the word ruminate there. That's a UCLA Bruin word.
There we go. There we go.
So he has had time, and I think you're probably correct about the duration of time he has had to ruminate, because obviously the Lakers missed the playoffs last year. LeBron didn't play in the last few weeks of the season, and then there was no Team USA obligations for LeBron. So I suspect LeBron has had more time away from competitive basketball than he has at any time in his adult life. And guys will tell you that they don't read what's in the paper, they don't see what you write, or they don't see your features on Spectrum, or the blog boys, they don't read that stuff, and they kind of tune out all of that noise or whatever is said on all the debate shows early morning with a bunch of people yelling at each other. But when guys tell you that, it's not true. They see the stuff. Some guys are better at blocking it out than others. Some guys enjoy it. They want to use it as motivation. Some guys like to go back at critics on social media. But they all see it. They all hear it. And LeBron has had more time to hear that maybe age is catching up with him. It's his first major injury. Maybe he's not the best player in the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He wasn't able to lead the Lakers to the playoffs. And I think we are going to see a refocused and a dedicated LeBron. And I think we're going to see one of, if not LeBron's best season. I think this is the season he reestablishes himself as the best player in the world. He's going to be a great pairing, especially in the pick and roll offensively with Anthony Davis. I think either he or Steph Curry probably wins the MVP, but I think you're going to see a very focused, very dedicated, and very aggressive LeBron right from tonight, opening night at Staples Center.
Locked in LeBron. Now, I really do think the hype around it's kind of putting those asterisks to the side. I don't think you can dismiss the outcome of this game based on those key players missing. Maybe Paul George puts the Clippers at more of a disadvantage, obviously, but that's just kind of a side note to this whole narrative.
Yeah, I think I'll give my prediction, but I think the Lakers will probably win this game because Paul George is out. That kind of leaves one fewer defensive options for LeBron and Anthony Davis. But I think there is plenty of star power and plenty of intrigue simply because Kawhi changed teams. Now, if Kawhi was the best player in the world or one of the best players in the world, like, for example, if it was Giannis, right, he was obviously one of the best players in the world, but it stayed on the same team, and then somebody that had joined him was hurt, I think it would kind of diminish the game more. But since this is going to be Kawhi's first game with his new team, I think all of that intrigue to see what that looks like is still there. It is disappointing that that both Kuz, but also especially Paul George, is not going to be able to play. But I think there is still plenty of intrigue and plenty of matchups. And, you and I have talked about off the air about this hallway series and how interesting it is that there are so many guys. I think it's four or five guys that have played for both the Lakers and the Clippers, most of them now on the Clippers side. So I think there are plenty of little storylines. Also, we have to find out if Pat Bev will actually play a game in Tim's this year, which I'm very looking forward to finding out. So maybe we get an answer to that question tomorrow. I doubt he will, but it would be very interesting. So I think there's plenty of storylines and plenty of intrigue. And I think it's going to be two of probably the best teams in the West and the best teams in the NBA going at it. And, there's a little, I wouldn't call it bad blood, but there's a little friendly back and forth. Doc Rivers kind of making fun of the Lakers, counting all of their championships where some of them were in Minnesota. So all that kind of stuff is adding another little log, a little more fuel to the competitive fire. So I think it's going to be a great game tonight.
Yes, and Tim's definitely contribute to the grit factor when you're out there when you're playing on a blacktop now, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, I did want to ask you.
Did you see the video of him like training in the stand wearing Tim's? I mean, if you can work out, not only work out in Tim's, but work out in the stand in Tim's and a beanie, you're a different breed, and I see why he's one of the best defensive players in the league, because that takes some special. If you want to call it grit, I'll go with your description, but it takes a special something.
Pat Beverley is one of those guys that once he's on your team, kind of like a Draymond, right? Like when he's on your team, when he's on your team, you can't help but absolutely love him. because he would run through a wall for his guys. But he, or maybe wear Tim's in the sand while working out for his guys. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah.
There's a different level of crazy, but you got to appreciate it. Now, I wanted to ask you, since we recorded our first edition of this pod till now, Mark Spears with The Athletic came out with his he got an exclusive with Doc, and Doc said something which I'm sure rifled the feathers of many a Laker fan. So contextualize that for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a healthy respect, but also kind of a disdain, too strong of a word, but there's kind of a competitiveness between the two franchises, and they like to kind of rib each other. And look, the Lakers have won 16 championships. The Clippers haven't won one. And I, you know, kind of make the joke and about Taylor Swift having more banners up at Staples than the Clippers. But Doc had a nice little comeback saying, you know, kind of making fun of the Lakers for claiming all of those championships when some of them go back to the distant past. But I think bulletin board material is always fun. And it speaks to the fact that this really is becoming more and more of a rivalry, and it's not so much looked at as, you know, look, the Lakers are the Lakers and the Clippers are, you know, the redhead stepchild or the little brother, etc. Now, kind of in the city and with the fan bases, maybe a little bit still, but on the court, the Clippers are very much a worthy adversary. A lot of people think the Clippers have the best shot, have as good of a shot as anybody winning the title. So on court, I think it really is a rivalry, and the fact that both sides are willing to kind of needle each other shows that they feel like the other side is a worthy adversary. So I think it just kind of speaks to the budding rivalry and how tense it is becoming. And I think for the Clippers and Lakers from the Clippers side have always had a little something, but this is starting to feel more like the Clippers rivalry, which I think is probably dying off now, but the Clippers rivalry, especially in the Blake and CP3 and DeAndre years that they had with the Warriors, where they like actively didn't really love each other, didn't like each other. They were two really good teams and were battling. The Warriors would always get the best of the Clippers, but they, you know, really developed a rivalry and kind of a healthy dislike for each other, and it made for some really good basketball. So I think that may be developing with the Lakers, and you know, for some people, proximity can breed some contempt, can breed some disdain. You know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. So because the Lakers and Clippers are so close and sharing the same building, I think it really is developing into a fun rivalry. And Doc's comments kind of illustrated that.
And I think, you know, put yourself in Doc's shoes, who's all too familiar with the ethos of a Lakers fan after coaching in Boston. He knows exactly, right, yeah. He knows exactly what he's saying. This is definitely,
man, that's another ethos here, man. I'm going to have to just tune into your podcast and get a thesaurus out and I can get educated. This is very impressive. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. It's your podcast.
No, I will take
vocabulary.
I will take a compliment on my vernacular any time of the day, Aaron.
I'm feeling dumber and dumber as this podcast goes on. I don't know why you have me here. You just use all of that vernacular you're talking about. Yeah, what's that? I'm impressed.
So, you've obviously been around this Lakers team. You've been in Los Angeles, albeit from Northern California originally. Take me into the arena expectations for tonight. It's a Clippers home game, but time and time again, visiting teams have shown up in full force, especially when it's a crosstown rival. What are your expectations for the fan turnout?
Well, I think the building is going to be jumping either way. But as you mentioned, you know, there have been times where Laker fans, it's felt like they've kind of taken over Staples Center. And we talked about the rivalry that the Clippers had with the Warriors. And there was definitely times, I remember Blake Griffin talking about this. I think it was Danilo Gallinari talking about this. And even Doc Rivers talking about how it was kind of disappointing that it felt like, you know, Oracle South when the Warriors came and played the Clippers. I think there is still going to be a large contingent of Lakers fans, but I think it is going to be probably smaller in numbers than we're used to seeing because there is so much excitement about this Clippers team and the new look Clippers team. more Laker fans than it would be, you know, if the Clippers were pick another team or playing the Timberwolves or something like that. There's going to be a larger contingent of Lakers fans. But a buddy of mine actually just earlier tonight bought tickets to the game tomorrow. I was a Lakers fan, bought tickets to the game tomorrow, and the tickets were harder to get and more expensive than even for the Lakers home opener. So I think the Clipper fans are doing a pretty good job of, you know, maintaining their tickets, keeping their tickets, and they're really excited for the rivalry and really excited for the game tomorrow. So, you know, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be 50-50. I think the Clippers fans will have an advantage in numbers, but, you know, there'll be a decent Lakers contingent, but I suspect that it's going to be more Clippers-centric, more heavier Clipper contingent than you might see in years past against either the Lakers or the Warriors.
Yeah, and the Clippers have done a tremendous job, I think, in the Steve Ballmer era of ingraining themselves in different parts of the Los Angeles community that might not be Lakers fans. You know, they're going for a different type of fan, and it's a grassroots campaign. They want the blue-collar type of worker, I guess, sports guy. So it'll be really interesting to see the spread of color. I'm with you. I would anticipate more Lakers fans than Clippers fans tomorrow, but I do think this red and blue population is growing and not afraid to be a little bit louder. Because it used to be something like, oh, you're a Clippers fan? Like, you know, keep it right. Hush, hush.
Right.
Now it's easy to hop on the bandwagon, join the party bus, if you will. So, and Clippers games, there's a different feel to them than the ritzy, kind of glitzy glam of a Lakers game. You know, Lakers games are a show. Clippers games are more entertainment. And I think show would be the wrong word for Lakers games, but there is kind of a silence to the arena. It's more of a seen and be seen sort of space. And Clippers games is like the full-on hokey entertainment, which I'm all in for, you know.
I see, now you're talking about Lakers games, I feel attacked. I feel that you are singling me out. No, well, look, you're right about that, and that goes back to Dr. Buzz, who very specifically wanted it to be, you know, a show and it to be entertainment. The way that the arena is lit for Lakers games, and I don't mean lit like, I mean, it is lit.
It's litty!
But you mean lit like the kids say, but the actual lighting, in addition to that, the game is lit in a certain way to put the focus on the floor. So yeah, there is definitely that element of it, and I think tomorrow I think it's going to look sort of like a college football rivalry game. You know how you can kind of see one side of the stadium is going to be one, and then you'll see like a split, and there's the visitor section. And so yeah, I think it's going to be left. There's the Los Angeles is still a Lakers city, but the Clippers are making headway in that, and the Clippers have some really good fans, and they're going to have a damn good team this year. So I think there's definitely going to be some excitement. We do have to figure out, though. I know you like your froyo. We do have to figure out if the flood and the typhoon conditions have been taken care of inside the media room at Staples Center. I haven't seen anything since the. I don't know what happened. Maybe a pipe burst or something during the Kings game, but if you can't get your froyo with the sprinkles and all that, we may have some problems.
Oh, no. We need an update on that ASAP. There are some crucial components. So the media room hit by a monsoon at the Kings game. I don't even know where all that water comes from to begin with.
I don't know. I think maybe a pipe burst or something over the in the ceiling. I don't know. Something happened, but the video was pretty shocking.
It reminded me of Jumanji for some reason. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like pouring indoors. But it was, yeah, I really hope they got it all tidied up there, because we saw over, I think, 400 media credentials have been doled out for this affair. So it's going to be a party in Staples. Now, we talked about fan expectations. I think the Lakers are currently favored by 2.5 points, unless the line has moved since I last checked. Talk to me about on-the-court expectations. The Clippers obviously missing Paul George. How that might affect, I mean, from what I saw from the Lakers during preseason, Anthony Davis and LeBron James have wasted no time in finding some rhythm and rhyme.
Yeah, I mean, they. I was doing a little research for my podcast, the Official Lakers Podcast, and found a little interesting number, which kind of speaks to what you're talking about with the chemistry that those guys are developing. LeBron has averaged 6.3 assists in just 19 minutes during the preseason, which is basically twice as much as he's averaged recently. So it seems like there's cohesion between LeBron and Anthony Davis, and with Danny Green, some of the newer guys, Quinn Cook, who is a good shooter. So I expect that pick and roll combination that between LeBron and Anthony Davis to give the Clippers some problems, because like if it's going to be Zoo, an old friend from Lakerland, Ivica Zubac, if he's going to start at center and if it's going to be Jamichael Green, it looks like it's going to be Jamichael Green starting at four, and then Kawhi. One of those guys, either Zoo or Jamichael Green, is probably going to have to guard Anthony Davis. If you have Kawhi guarding LeBron, then one of those guys is probably going to have to guard Anthony Davis, and that makes me a little nervous defensively for Clipper fans. Now, I think for the Lakers, the question is going to be, how good is the Lakers' perimeter defense, and especially with all those attacking guards, you know, Lou Will, who will come off the bench for the Clippers. What kind of Avery Bradley, who I think is going to start for the Clippers, for the Lakers at point guard, who is probably going to get the first shot at guarding Lou Will Pat Bev when he's trying to get in the lane. So I think the question is going to be the perimeter defense for the Lakers and the interior defense, and who's going to guard Anthony Davis for the Clippers. If you do have Paul George, you know that Paul George is one of the best defenders in the league. Also, you know, 6'9", 6'10", able to battle a little bit better probably and stay with quicker, better hands to stay with Anthony Davis. So, you could switch down if you wanted Kawhi to take some time on Anthony Davis, and, you know, then you still have another option to guard LeBron if he was healthy, if Paul George was healthy. So I think that is going to be it's going to be the Lakers' perimeter defense. How much can they slow down Lou Williams, because I think he will probably, outside of Kawhi, be the biggest problem offensively. And then what the Clippers are going to do with the LeBron James, Anthony Davis pick and roll. I think you probably want Jamichael Green to take a shot first at it, unless it's Mo Harkless. Mo Harkless may start, and he's a decent defensive player too, but I don't think you want Zoo on Anthony Davis. He's a good shot blocker. He's a big dude. He plays hard, but as far as, you know,
he's improved some, but
his movement, as far as, you know, having to switch on to LeBron if he's guarding AD in those pick and rolls, or being able to stay with AD and pick and pop, all that kind of stuff makes me a little nervous for Zoo. So I think maybe Zoo will guard JaVale, and you have whoever starts at four guarding Anthony Davis. But I think the Clippers are down one body defensively to guard the Lakers. But
yeah,
you have an explosive bench with Trez and Lou Williams. So I expect a good game, but I think the Lakers are probably have the advantage. We'll see. At practice day, Rajon Rondo is questionable for the Lakers. As we record this, it was a practice day. Rajon Rondo is questionable. Quinn Cook is going to play, and Alex Caruso, who got hurt in the last preseason game, is probable. So that is a little bit maybe shuffling around of the guard rotation. Defensively, so I think Lou will may give the Lakers some problems tomorrow, as he does a lot of teams. But I think I expect the Lakers to win.
Yeah, and on the topic of Zoo, I mean, he lost some weight this summer. The last taste we got of his defense was against the Warriors, and it was a bad look for him. I don't think that's a fair measurement of his abilities. But I also don't think Anthony Davis is the first person you want him to regain that confidence with at the start of this season. So, in that question,
right. I think the scheme and what Doc likes to do is important there, because look, there's not a lot of guys Zoo's size that can go and stay with Steph Curry in a pick and roll. Even the best defenders, Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive players in the world, and that destroys him because he can't. He just doesn't have the lateral quickness and instincts to stay with Steph Curry or with James Harden or anybody in pick and roll. So I think Zoo is probably best suited kind of banging down with JaVale and just being a big body. So
yeah,
no, you know, no disgrace. But I like against the Steph Curry and Kevin Durant or Steph Curry and Draymond Green pick and roll.
So it's funny, we talked about, well, in our earlier edition of this new and improved podcast.
No, that ain't never happened.
How
the vegan sausage is made.
Yeah, the vegans, the players who have dabbled in both locker rooms in this hallway, we've got Lou Williams, Avery Bradley, Zoo, who am I?
I think Jared Dudley's last one. He had one year with the Clippers.
Jared Dudley. And then I also was thinking about two other names. Jerry West and Ty Lue has obviously been tied.
Right, yeah.
You know, Ty Lue never, well, yeah, I guess, I mean, he played for the Lakers back in the day, but I was thinking more recently in terms of the coaching search and how fresh that was. And now he's laughing and looking like a jolly old assistant coach on the Clippers coaching staff. So it really struck me how happy and kind of unbuttoned he was at the Clippers open practice. But I guess by assistant coaches by nature kind of get that breathing space. But it,
right.
You know, there's a couple of names who have been linked to both teams in that hallway.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because I think, and I don't even remember who, but I think there was only one trade between, I guess last year was another one.
Yeah. Two,
but before that, I think there was only one trade between the Lakers and Clippers. And it's like, you know, the Yankees and Mets don't often do business in baseball, so that kind of thing. So it is very interesting now, obviously, on the court with those four players you mentioned, but then also coaching-wise, front office-wise, there's definitely a connection between the two teams, and that just adds to the intrigue and the interest and hopefully the rivalry. It's going to be fun. And then back again on Christmas, which should be good too.
Christmas.
And hopefully the Clippers will, and both teams, hopefully both teams will have their full rosters by then, full contingent, and we can actually kind of get started sorting it all out and see who may be the king of the West.
Yeah. And there's nothing like that, that late January matchup also to kind of get a little adrenaline pumping before the All-Star break. So that'll be a great one as well. Aaron, so grateful for your time. Before you go, I want to get your regular season win total predictions for both teams and where you see them kind of finishing in this wild, wild west.
So I think the Clippers and Lakers, when it comes down to it in the playoffs, now this is assuming health, which is probably a fool's errand to try to do, but assuming health for everyone or relative health for everyone, I think the Lakers and Clippers are probably the two best teams in the West, and may very well meet in the Western Conference Finals. But as far as the regular season goes, I don't think, because LeBron has been there and done it forever, and Rondo and some of the leaders, and Anthony Davis has, you know, been in the playoffs some, not much. The Pelicans kind of destroyed the Blazers a couple years ago. Because of that experience, especially with LeBron, and then on the Clippers side with Kawhi specifically, but also Paul George, and then some of the guys with the experience last year in that series against the Warriors, where the Clippers were able to come back from, what was it, I think 31 to win, and kind of push the Warriors a little bit. I think the leadership, and also Doc on the Clippers, I think the leadership of both the Clippers and Lakers are less concerned about seeding. I think they both want to be top four, but I think they are less concerned about pushing themselves to win as many games as possible in the regular season. So I kind of think that the first two seeds in the West, I don't care which order you want, but I think I think Denver and Utah are probably going to finish 1 and 2. And then I'm going to put the Lakers and Clippers and Rockets kind of in that next tier, 3, 4, 5, with the Warriors kind of on the fringe of that tier, depending on when Klay comes back and what he looks like when he comes back.
Do you think he comes back this season?
Go ahead.
Do you think Klay comes back this season? I'm feeling.
I do. I think February or March.
Okay.
What the Warriors look like, what their season looks like, I think will have some impact on when he comes back, if he comes back. You know, if the Warriors are, you know, whatever, Warriors are 20-28 or something like that, you know, I think he may be less inclined to come back. I think the Warriors will probably do that. I think the Warriors may start slowly, but yeah. I am a believer in the power of Steph Curry and yeah. Steph Curry and Draymond as a two-man unit, even without Klay and without Kevin Durant, have been plus 11 and plus 12 per 100 possessions the last few years. So basically just the two of them equals winning basketball. So if those two are able to drag what is a pretty mediocre roster into, you know, the 6th seed or 5th seed or 7th seed, I think Klay will come back and see what he can do. So I put them kind of on the fringes of that second tier for the regular season. So to answer your question more specifically, mm-hmm. I think the Lakers, Clippers, and Rockets will be 3, 4, 5 in some combination. But yeah. I think the Lakers and Clippers will have as good of a chance as anybody in the West of facing off in the Western Conference Finals. So let's say you wanted a win total. So let's say, you know, I think they're probably, both of them are probably somewhere 49 to 51, 52, somewhere okay. in there.
I was thinking a little bit higher. I was probably going 53, but like you said, injuries, the unspoken load management is
right.
definitely a factor.
And I think that, you know, all four of the superstars, yeah. For the two on each team, they all have some injury concerns. LeBron less so, but for the first time last year, you know, there is some concern, and obviously getting older, and AD has had his history, and of course Kawhi famously, and Paul George is, you know, recovering as we speak. So I think there is going to be some load management, the unspoken load management. And look, the West, I think, is just going to be a bloodbath. So
yeah.
I don't think you're going to see, Milwaukee may run off, you know, 60 or 65 wins again. I don't think you're going to see anybody with that high of a total in the West. I think, you know, 55 to 57, 55, somewhere in there, 58, I think may win the West just because there are so many good teams. You know, to put a team in the playoffs, we all think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. You're going to have to take somebody out. The easy one to take out is OKC, but yeah. I mean, there's, you know, the Dallas is a lot better. Porzingis is going to be back, and, you know, Sacramento was kind of knocking on the door, and, you know, unfortunately, Zion Williamson is out 6 to 8 weeks with a meniscus surgery today, but, you know, I think the Pelicans could be decent. So I think the West is going to be tough, and you may win the West with 55 or 56 games. So I think that 3-4 seed somewhere in there, I think, you know, 50, 51 is probably where the Lakers and Clippers are going to be, because I don't think they're going to push as hard as some other teams.
What it all comes down to, it's going to be a hell of a fun season. Aaron, thank you so much. Where can people find your work and follow you?
The best place is on Twitter, at Aaron Larsuel, LARSUEL. My Instagram is the same. And you can find out all the stuff about the official Lakers podcast, which is very creatively titled because it is the official Lakers podcast. So actually today we did the first one of the new season. Mike Trudell, who does Sideline for the Lakers, does the show along with me. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We kind of just talk basketball, talk Lakers, and you can find all of it on my Twitter page, and find it on iTunes. You can find it on Lakers.com and iTunes and PodcastOne.com and everywhere you go find your podcast. So after you listen to this one twice, then go subscribe to mine, download mine, and listen to mine. But listen to this one, listen to Nikki twice before you go do that.
Thanks, Aaron. But make sure you definitely go like, comment, subscribe, all the things for the official Lakers podcast. And follow Aaron. Give him some double taps for reaffirmation. We all need that on social media these days.
Self-esteem is, I definitely need
it. Hey, Aaron, I'll see you at the game tonight. It's going to be a fun one.
Right.
See you at the Froyo machine?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, we will meet there. Unless, you know, I'm going to bring my waiters, my rain boots, all of that. So we'll be okay either way. As long as the machine is working, we're going to be okay either way. I'll bring ponchos and the whole deal.
Groovy. Aaron, thank you so much. And everyone listening, thanks again. We are back in action. And like, comment, subscribe. Give us all the love here at the Clippers Beat Podcast, which you can find anywhere you get your pods at or at clnsmedia.com.